that, Baruch Hashem. It is wonderful to be back. It's great to be with you, and it's great to start a new year. Habol Leinu L'Tov, everybody should be well. So, in thinking about framing this year, so I've been thinking a lot about developing my connection with Hashem. You like that? Becoming very religious.
I asked Michael whether he went to Machu Picchu.
And
come test with
So I did a lot of different things to further my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and over the course of the year I thought it would be worthwhile to think about how we can each, through our own growth, develop a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in different venues I'm thinking about it different ways, and I thought that actually it would be nice to make something special for this Lincolnwood series for the year, that we focus on one arc, and that is the arc of values. And that what we're going to do, if people are bought in, I mean, if it's a revolt, then we won't do this. But what I'd like to do is look at specific values through which we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different points in our life. So, for example, wholesomeness or thoughtfulness. Like, there are things that we do in our lives that we think are very important, that we teach our children, but we don't necessarily reflect on them from a Hilchos Deos standpoint. You know, if the Rambam were having this discussion, he would say, you know, how could you not connect that between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam? So that's what I was thinking about for the year. So we'll give a Hakdama tonight, and if it's manageable and decent, so then we'll go weiter. If not, you'll tell me that we need a reset. Okay? So that's the plan. So far, so good? Okay. So, in thinking about living the values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask ourselves a very basic and fundamental question, which is, why is it that the Torah doesn't list our values? Why is it that in Parashas Ki Tzetze, for example, this week we have a zillion mitzvahs?
74.
Oh, very good. It's the most in any parsha. Well, that's right.
It's my problem.
And yet, not in Parshas Kedoshim, where you have a higher population density of mitzvos, not in Parshas Tzitzit, nowhere do you have a list of Torah values. Be generous. Be compassionate. Be thoughtful. You don't have it. And you have to wonder, why? It's obviously deliberate. And the question is, it's strengthened by the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to live by values. Now, how do I know that? Well, the Rambam, when did the Rambam live? Between 1135 and 1204. Easiest way to remember that, for those who are return offenders, is that the Rambam lived just less than a half hour. 1135 till 1204.
Wow.
That's
what happened.
Right.
That's
okay, right. So, the Rambam, he told us he's going to do us a favor, a toiva, to summarize all of Jewish learning. He writes in the Hakdama to the Yad HaChazakah, to the Mishneh Torah, all you need is a Tanakh and my book, and you'll know everything. So the Rambam gives you all the halachas, Tumah and Tahara, purity and impurity, laws of Kashrus, the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, everything you need to be a full-fledged Jew. So as part of that, the Rambam gives you what he calls Hilchos Deos, the laws of character traits, of values. If you look on the Mar Makomel sheet here, you see on the top right side, this is a very old, like 500-year-old incunabular edition of the Rambam. You see on the top, under the bar, it says, forget the chicken scratch, that's handwritten chicken scratch. Under there you see it says, Hilchos Deos, the laws of values, of character. On the left-hand side, you just have, just for snazziness, that's actually the handwriting of the Rambam. I had an amazing schus 1 year when I was in YU, I was a part of a special course, and they took us to JTS, to the Rare Books and Manuscripts Archive in the library, and we actually got to see a handwritten copy of the Rambam, signed by the Rambam himself. So that's what you're looking at here. You see it says, Huga Mi Sifri, edited by me, meaning the Rambam had a lot of people who wrote editions of his book. He didn't, and they didn't have a printing press in 1150. Ani Moshe Barabi Maimon Zal. You see, that's the Rambam's actual handwriting. So the Rambam tells us that a chunk of the halachas that you have to live by as a Jew is deos, values. And where does that come from? So the Rambam gives you all the laws in the book called Mishneh Torah, but those laws are part of a series of 613 mitzvahs. First, the Rambam has to give you the list. So that's called the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam. The Rambam gives you 613 mitzvahs, and then he amplifies all of them in the halachos, in the Mishneh Torah. So if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives you, you see it's here on the left side, Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's mitzvahs asei, positive commandment number 8. He shetzivanu, that the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded us, lehidamos bo yis'ale, that we should imitate, we should mimic the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lehidamos, we should be similar to Hashem Yisbarach. Kefi hayecholas, to the extent that we are capable of imitating God. And how does that come to the fore? As it says, go to the fourth line, fifth line. Maha Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chanun. Just like God is referred to as Chanun, others say Mahu Chanun Af Ata, but the Rambam does not say that. The Rambam says Mahu Nikra Chanun. Why that? Why is that? Why do you think the Rambam does not say Mahu Af Ata, which is another formulation you'll find? The Rambam says Mahu Nikra. He is called Chanun. Therefore,
we can't have a form of it.
That's right. Because the Rambam says, it's called negative theology. The Rambam says you cannot describe the Ribbono Shel Olam in any direct way. So you can't say God is compassionate, he has Rachmanis, so you have Rachmanis. We say he is called compassionate, because you can't really grasp the Borei Olam. Okay? But the point is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is called Chanun. What does the word Chanun literally mean? It means gracious. Lechonein means to give something really for nothing. Chanina, in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, chanina means clemency. It means someone doesn't deserve it. So we're going to enter now the Yom Noraim, and what are we asking for? V'chanosi asher achon. We're asking all the time for rachum, chanun, specifically chanina. We're asking him, just give us a little, even though we don't deserve it. Just give us a little extra. Chanina. So just like the Ribbono Shel Olam gives a little extra, so we should give a little extra. We should be gracious. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Rachum, Afata Heye Rachum. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chassid, he's pious, so to speak, Afata Heye Chassid. So the Rambam tells us, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to live by the values of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So why doesn't the Chumash somewhere say, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Chanun, you should be Chanun, be Rachum, be a Chassid. It doesn't say it. The question is why? It's a very serious question. So that's one part of the question. The other part of the question is, well, now that the Rambam told us that this mamash mitzvah d'oraisa to live by the Ribbono Shel Olam's values, to seek them out, well, where are we going to find them? How are we going to learn them? This is the next problem. You tell me there's an expectation, so help me. The Torah doesn't help me. It's very hard. So one of the books that I read this summer is a book called Give and Take by Adam Grant. Adam Grant, like many of the brilliant social observers, he's an organizational psychologist. He's a Yid. Terrific, terrific guy. He has a great podcast called Work Life. Awesome. There's a new book, relatively new book, called Originals that I did not read yet, but this book is amazing. It's an original book. If you want to know about Chesed, this book is a lot about Chesed and Stuck, a lot of things. So in the book, he's discussing a phenomenon about how to get people to be givers. Because the thesis of the book is the power of being a giver. Because there are different kinds of people in life, and we all meet these kinds of people. There are people who are takers, There are people who are matchers. You know, I'll help you out because I know you're going to help me one day, which is fine. Rav Schechter points out that the requirement for chesed and tzedakah comes, the Chazal point to a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechecho Hashem Elokecha. Hashem will bless you because you give tzedakah. So the Gemara The Gemara says that the word biglal is similar to the Hebrew word galgal. What is a galgal? What's that?
A wheel.
A wheel. So the Gemara says, lo aleinu, anius and ashiris is a galgal hachozer ba'olam. Maybe today your name is Rothschild and you have a lot to give. One day, maybe somebody in your family is going to be on the receiving end. So give today, because tomorrow you will maybe potentially need to receive. So that is a classic Adam Grant matcher perspective. So there's nothing wrong with that. Rav Schechter explains that's the machayev of Bein Adam LaChaveiro. He has a whole essay about this. The reason why I should help you to come visit you if you need, you know, if somebody needs Bikur Cholim or Nicham Avelim or Achnas Asarchim is because when I get stuck in some place for Shabbos, I want somebody to pick me up. You know, that's biglal hadavar hazeh. But Adam Grant, I don't know if he knew this part, he just forgot to write it in the book. But Schechter points out there's a higher level. What's obviously being a taker, that's nishgit. Rav Dessel says that's really very bad. Being a matcher is a beseder. But what's a higher level? When Yaakov Avinu dies, what does he say to Yosef? V'asisa imodi chesed ve'emes. So Rashi points out, it's a special kind of chesed they were going to do for Yaakov Avinu. What was the chesed? Kavura. Why is kavura referred to as a chesed shel emes? That's it. Rashi says, eino mitzapet letashlum gemul. You do not anticipate that that person will ever repay you because now they're in the olam emes. That is what Adam Grant means when he talks about a giver. You give because it's the right thing to do. The person will never see you again in this world. You'll never benefit from them at all. But you do it because it's the erlich, it's the right thing to do. Just the right thing, just to be a giver. That's what Rav Schechter says, that's what Chazal calls chesed shel emes. That's a higher level of chesed. That's the chesed of the giver. That's the shtickel Torah. So there was a dean of Harvard College who wanted to habituate the students to give more, to be more magnanimous. So he decided he was going to have students sign a pledge that they were going to be givers, they were going to give, and they were going to hang up the pledge publicly in Harvard Yard, and everybody would see that people are going to sign. And part of the argument here is that there is an element of social pressure that when you see your neighbor is doing and your friend is doing, so it encourages people to do this in Mitzvahs. So, the pledges, exactly. You call out the pledges, exactly. So, there was a huge backlash, of course, in a liberal arts college to try to force college students to do anything, or even to insinuate that they have to do something is a shtickel problem. Okay. But what Adam Grant points out is that actually that was not going to be an effective way. The research shows that to just say that you're a giver, it's not going to make a difference. Adarava, some of the research shows that if you say in big letters, I am a giver, then when they come to ask you, you'll say, I don't have to do right now because I'm already a giver. Mm-hmm. So he says, what does the research show? What did they find when they were trying to figure out how to encourage their students to be givers, to live by a value? So he says the following. When we're trying to influence someone, we often adopt an approach that mirrors the Harvard Pledge. We start by changing their attitudes, hoping that their behaviors are likely to march in the same direction. If we get people to sign a statement that they'll act like givers, then they'll come to believe that giving is important, right? That's what we think. And then they'll give. But according to a rich body of psychological detective work, this reasoning is backward. Influence is far more powerful in the opposite direction. Change people's behaviors first, and their attitudes often follow. To turn takers into givers, it's often necessary to convince them to start giving. Over time, if the conditions are right, they'll come to see themselves as givers. And once you shape your identity, you want to be consistent. If I have the identity of a giver, of course I'm going to live like that. There's an old Chassidish Maisa, you know, thank God we live when we live. If we would have lived 400 years ago, 300 years ago, life would have been very different. Pikuach Nefesh and Pidyon Shvuyim today, thankfully, is a rarity. In terms of, when was the last time you had to ransom somebody? Thank God, it's not very common. But just a few hundred years ago, it was very common. You had people who, whether they were pirates or gangsters, they would haul Jews off, and they would call the local community and would say, guys, we have Chaim Yankel in the back of the truck over here, and if you want to see him tomorrow, please leave 10,000 rubles at our doorstep. Signed, Beloved Cossacks, or something like that. So there was a maisa, you know, that the Reb Levi Yitzchak, the Berdichever, and the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, were mechutanim. So there was a case of Pidyon Shvuyim, somewhere near Berdichev, and the two of them, with a third Rebbe, went to a well-known wealthy man in the neighborhood to see if they could drum up some funding, because they needed to pay a ransom of like 5,000 rubles. And you know, how much could people afford? They could barely even feed their families. But this man was well known to be an extremely wealthy business person. He was also known to be an exceptional miser. No one can ever get any money out of this guy. But the situation was so desperate. Pidyon Shvuyim, the Gemara says, Mitzvah Rabbah, it's mamish desperate. So they said, okay. So the Berdichever said to these other two Rabbanim, to the Alter Rebbe and this other Rebbe, said, let's go to see this miser. Let's go. We have nothing to lose. We have no choice. So they go, they knock on the door of this house, and you see it's like a big, beautiful home with columns in the front and a mahogany double door. So the guy comes to the door, and he opens the door. He says, oh, honored rabbis, it's incredible to have you in my home. What a hush of company. Amazing. Please come in. Can I offer you a drink? No, thank you. Everything good. He sits down at a beautiful dining room table set just like this. And they explain to him the desperate situation that they have. So near the dining room table, there's a bureau that looks like this, you know, like a writing desk. And in the left side of the writing desk, there's a drawer. So he goes over and he opens the drawer. He pulls it out. And you could see inside the drawer, there's an envelope and some stuff. So he reaches out and he pulls out one moldy ruble. And he says to them, rabbis, this is for you. It's my shtatlus. It's my contribution. It's my participation in this Pidyon Shvuyim. Meanwhile, the Alter Rebbe is like steam coming out of his ears. They just gave him the whole sob story of how desperate this is. And he can give them one measly ruble. So he's ready to throw back in his face like was the practice of people before. But before he could open his mouth, the Berdichever jumps in and he says, sir, thank you so much. That's so generous. That's so beautiful. Thank you. And he takes, he says, you know, this is going to help us because every penny helps. So he puts it in his pocket. He says, thank you. All right, we're gonna head to our next spot. And before they can move their chairs back, the guy says, oh, I'm really glad. You know, just give me one second. Maybe I can find a few more. So he goes back in the drawer and he finds 5 rubles. He puts in a little bag, plastic bag, and he gives his rabbis, I think you should use 5 rubles. And the Berdichever is like, thank you so much. Wow, this is mamish amazing. Thank you. We're going to take this and run and get to the next person. They get up, they go to the door. The guy says, just wait one second. You know, I think maybe just give me one second. He goes back to the drawer. He pulls out 100 rubles. He gives it to them. They say, wow, this is truly amazing. By the time they are halfway down the block, they have 1,000 rubles in their pocket. So the Alter Rebbe finally turns to the Berdichever when they're 2 blocks away and they can huddle on the street corner after this little fundraising episode. And he says to him, he says, I don't understand.
How did you understand? How did you figure that out? What did you chop about this guy that made you take? And the Bardishva said it's very simple. When people come to this guy, they ask him to give. He doesn't know how to give. He's never experienced giving. And any time he gives somebody one moldy ruble, they throw it back in his face and they run away. So he never identifies himself as a giver. He never gave. So he doesn't give. But the minute we gave him the chance to give, he realized, you know, I can give something. And it started to click that it's okay, you can give. And then he gave a little more, and then he gave a little more until he just got into the habit of giving. And now he sees himself as a giver. That's his identity. The next schnarr that's going to come to his house and knock on the door, he's going to get a check. Because the act of giving once and then giving a second time and a third time, it habituates us to the practice, but doesn't just habituate us to the practice. It shapes our identity. It says to myself, I'm a giver. So when it comes time, I'll give. Now, there's a well-known comment of the Rambam that if a person has an opportunity to give $100 in one shot or to give it sequentially, you know, a dollar and then another dollar and another dollar, the act of giving repeatedly leaves an imprint on a person. Many are familiar with this idea, right? It's the action that Adam Grant says shapes the value. To tell the Harvard students, be givers, it's not going to help. Even to tell them to sign up and say, I'm a giver, I'll sign on to the Pledge of Giving Society, it's not going to help. Have them give something, and then they'll become givers. This is why the Torah, in the Ribbono Shel Olam's, of course, infinite wisdom, made a cheshbon and said, it doesn't make sense to put a list of things in Parshas Kedoshim and say, be a giver, be compassionate. You could say be compassionate from today till tomorrow. There's got to be another way. There's got to be an action. So turn the page. We can suggest that there are two models that can help us learn values. These two models for learning values are in the Chumash, they're in the Torah, and that's why the Torah didn't list the values themselves, because these are the ways to learn them. Take a look. This is a Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tezayin. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot to try to remember which mitzvah is the Sefer HaChinuch talking about. The Sefer HaChinuch is an anonymous work that categorizes all 613 mitzvahs, positive, negative, and it gives you a little shoresh. Shoresh is a root. It means the flavor of that mitzvah, the feeling, the message of that mitzvah. That's what you get in the Sefer HaChinuch. So this Sefer HaChinuch, keep an eye what number it is. It's number 16, so it's toward the beginning. This is one of the most well-known statements of the Sefer HaChinuch, where he writes, follow with me, Da, you should know, Adam Grant, if he only knew this Sefer HaChinuch, would have been right up there. Ki ha'adam, that a person, nif'al. What does the word nif'al mean? It means he is affected. Benifal, meaning in a passive way, we become changed people, kefi peulosav, according to our actions, velibo and our hearts, vechol machshavosav and our thoughts, tamid achar maisav, shuosikbam. They actually follow the actions that we do. In Tovim Ra, says here, second line in the middle, Va'afilu Rasha Gomor Bilvavo. Even if the person is the most wretched, miserable, horrible person on the inside. However, on the third line, if Yasim Hishtadluso, if he will put his efforts, Ve'isko, and his involvement, Bahasmada, persistently, Betorva Mitzvos, Afilu Shom Lo Shem Shemaim, he's doing the good deeds. Not because of the right reason. He's just doing it because someone forced him to. His neighbor told him to do it. He had no choice. But he's in the habit of doing the right thing. Miyad yinta elatov. He will start moving in the right direction. You take somebody and you get them in the habit of doing the right thing, and they'll become a better person. That value will be internalized into their life. We can tell our kids, I don't want to speak for anybody else here, grandchildren, children, neighbors. Sometimes in our house, you might hear a phrase. It's said, maybe it's yelled, "Be a mensch!" It's usually followed by, like, "For goodness sake." You know what I mean? Like, can you eat like a mensch? So the Torah doesn't say anywhere, can you sit down and eat like a mensch? But you know what the Torah does say? You know what this mitzvah tezayin is? It's the iser to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. Why would somebody break the bones of the Korban Pesach?
To get the last bit.
Yeah, because they're eating like such a vilde chaya that they're breaking all the bones. The Torah tells you, eat like a mensch. Eat like a mensch. But how does it tell us? If it told us, eat like a mensch, would we have a context for that? That would just be a value. Eat like a mensch. So it says very clearly, listen, when you sit down to the table, don't break the bones. So it means you're going to sit and cut it with a knife. You ever go to a restaurant sometimes and you see people, it's like I don't know what. It's like the old Native Americans with a buffalo or a bison. You know, it's like...
That's how big the ribs are.
The Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne. I remember used to shry about this in the yeshiva. He used to, Shelo litnapel ala ochel. Don't litnapel. It's a reflexive word like falling on the food. It's like the chever. You're walking into the chadar ochel. Eat like a mensch. So the Torah tells us, you want to learn how to be a mensch? The Torah gives you a very specific action. And from that action, you're going to learn how to eat. I'll give you another example. When we were growing up, now I don't think it's true, but when we were growing up, what was the first masechta that we learned? What was the first parak we learned in day school? You learned brachos. We learned Eila Metzias or Hamafkid. Hamafkid or Eila Metzias. Two prakim in Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia is about interpersonal commercial issues. So Eila Metzias is about Metzias, lost items. And Hamafkid is about
watching
I borrow your baseball glove, you borrow my, you know, I don't know what the muscle, for those of us who didn't have baseball gloves in their house, whatever, you borrow my, I don't know, my stuff, whatever, my doll, my hairbrush, my hair straightener, my hair ironer, you know, we have to appropriate, like, things, whatever, right, the blender, whatever. So, why is it that in fifth and sixth grade, most kids, at least when we were growing up, we learned Hamafkid or Eila Metzias. So I'll tell you why. Look in this Rambam. The Rambam tells you in Sefer HaMitzvos, two mitzvahs. One is, you see this one over here, Lo Saaseh 244. Ha'azhara, the restriction, Shehizhiranu, that the Torah restricted us, Milignov Mamon, not to steal. Specifically not to steal money. From the Pasuk Vuhu Amro, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to us, Lo Signovu. Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. Why is he picking that Pasuk? Because the Pasuk in the Ten Commandments, in the Ten Statements, Aseres HaDibros, does not refer to stealing money. It's not about pickpocketing. Exactly. It's about kidnapping. So he tells you, Lo Signovu, don't steal, not to be Gonev Mamon. That's one din. Next din. Mitzvahs Aseh, positive, 204, Reish Dalad. Hatzivoi Shenitztavenu, we were commanded, Lahachzir Es Ho'aveda, to return the lost item, Leba'aleha, to its owner. Ru'omro, as the Pasuk says, Hashiv Tishivenu Lo, and Hashiv Tishivim Lachicha, Hashavas Aveda Asehu. This is the positive commandment to do what? Return lost items. If you find a lost article, you return it to the owner, right? It's Yadua. It's a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. The third one, not in the Rambam, this is in the Tur, Rav Yaakov ben Asher, the great halachist from the 14th century. He categorized all of Jewish law in four sections, Orachaim, Yoredeah, Choshen Mishpat, Evin Ezer. That's the precursor to the Shulchan Aruch. So in Choshen Mishpat, which is all about monetary laws, he gives you a halacha. This halacha is an interesting halacha. It doesn't appear in the Gemara, but it appears in the Tur. You see where it says, Arba Turim, Shin Ayin Ches, Simon 378. Kishem Sha'asur Lignov Veligzol Mamon Chavero, just like it's prohibited. We are not allowed to steal or Gneva means stealing in secret. Gzela means just out and out forced robbery. Kach Asur Lahazik Mamono. Just like I'm not allowed to steal your hubcaps, so too I'm not allowed to key your car. Which you hadn't known, because I might have thought the only Isser is for me to take your property, for me to walk out with this dish. That would be an Isser Gneva if you didn't see it. And if I did take a gun and point it at you and take it out, that would be Gazela. But who's to say where is it saying in the Torah you're not allowed to break someone else's property without taking it? So that's the extension, the Chiddush of the Torah. That's what we call the Isser Mazik. It's not in the Chumash, but it's in the Torah. What do we learn from these three halachas together? That there's a din of Isser Gzela and Gneva, that there's a din of Hashavas Aveda, and there's an Isser Mazik, that you're not allowed to damage. What do you learn from all these three halachas? What value?
To respect people's property.
That's it. That's it, to respect people's property. And so to effectively teach us that value, instead of having a sign in the middle of the Chumash that says respect people's property, the Rav Shlom did something infinitely more brilliant. He says, I'm going to give you a way to live that through all these mitzvahs, all these actions, by the time you turn around, you will realize respect people's property. We have a lot of problems with fifth and sixth grade boys. Many. Manifold. We have some who lived in our house. We have some who currently live in our house. It's not a pasha thing. You don't know from this? Yeah, everybody has their own pekalach. Everyone has their own pekalach. So you know what? You know what we need to teach fifth and sixth grade boys in Gemara? We need to teach them respect for people's property. And that's why, as kids, we always learn Bava Metzia. Because they wanted the kids to understand that this is yours and this is mine. And that if it's not yours, don't touch it. I don't know why they have such a yetzer hara, but it is. I mean, you could talk to the psychology of it. You know, go figure. You can't explain them. What are you going to do? So what did the Rebbe Shlom say? Instead of saying, be respectful of people's property, which we are expected to do, he gave us a framework of actions to say, do this, don't do that. And when you pay attention to them and you put it all together, you say, oh, you have a value. So the Torah did give us values. You just have to pay attention to the actions. That's mahalach number one. But then there's another mahalach, how to learn values. You notice that the Torah is not just a book of laws. If the Torah was a book of laws, we would be missing all of Sefer Bereishis. We'd be missing a huge chunk of Sefer Bamidbar. You know, I don't know, almost nothing in Sefer Shemos is except for the Mishkan. You know, there's not...
Mishpatim.
Okay, so Mishpatim you got, and the part of Parshas Yisro. Maybe 50% of the Chumash is stories. You know, almost half of Shas is Agaritas, maybe a little less than that, you know, a third. What's that for? Because there's another way to learn values. Where do we learn values? We learn them mimetically from models. Because if you'd say to somebody, be compassionate, be kind, be generous, how do they know what that means? How do they know what that looks like? I could put up a sign that says, be gracious, but if no one ever saw what a gracious person looks like in real life, they won't know how to live it. They won't know what that value looks like. So what did the Rebbeinu Shlom do? He says, I'm going to tell you stories. And through those stories, you're going to learn the values that I want you to learn. Because saying, be gracious, it's not enough. Instead, I'm going to teach you with a model. Look at the bottom. I'm going to give you two psukim about one of our most famous role models. The pasuk says, the first one's in Parashas Lech Lecha, Vayashkim Avram Baboker Elamokam Asher Amad Shemes Bnei Hashem. This is in which context? There was a very unfortunate reality that evil had crept into the world to the extent that there were cities that were completely and wholly corrupt. Sodom and that whole Chevra. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, Kenish, I can't have that, a world like that's so horribly ruined. It's morally bankrupt. We're going to erase them. So what does Avraham Avinu do? He begs on their behalf. He negotiates. He talks, whatever. And in that context, shortly thereafter, he's Vayashkim, he gets up. But this is not the last time you're hearing this word Vayashkim from Avraham Avinu. The next section, which is in Vayera, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Vayachavoshes Chamoro, Vayikachashnin Aravito, Vayeshishchok Beno, Vayivaka Seolo, Vayokam Vayelech Elamokam Asher Omer Elohu Elokim. What is the context of this story? Akedah. That's right, Akedas Yitzchok. What does the word Vayashkim mean?
Jesus.
He got up for the early minion. He got up for Nates. He got up to make the minion early. So Chazal, there's a din in the Gemara, which is expressed halachically. So for example, most of the time when you go to a bris, it's in the morning. Yerushalmi brisin, like the hardcore chevah with the greasy schnitzel, 8 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 even better.
You know? 6:40.
Schnitzel, 7:30 in the morning. Why? What's that? You've seen this. Oh, you've done it. Still with us. What's the din? Why is that? It's not just because, you know, that's it. So the Gemara has a klal. We say, Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvahs. People who are passionate, they work with alacrity, with Zrizus. And therefore, it's a din. That unless you have some great uncle who's flying in from California who can't get there, has to change in, you know, in Dallas and get here in the afternoon, whatever, there's some cheshbon, but usually a bris is in the morning because of Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs. Zrizus is a midah. It's a value. But instead of saying, be quick on your feet, be passionate, the Torah says, let me tell you a story. Let me show you a man who got up in the early morning for the early shachris to slaughter his own son. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, the same thing the second time around. It teaches you to have Zrizus, the meat of Zrizus. It's teaching you through the model. Instead of just putting up a sign and say, be a Zaris. We need to be a Zaris, but how would you know what that looks like? Just look at Avram Avinu. To get up for the early minyan. To get up to Kasher for Pesach. To get to Slichas. Whatever it's going to take. But it's the meat of Zrizus. You learn it through the modeling. The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Huda Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva for almost half a century, the famous great Netziv, in his Hakdama to his commentary on the Chumash called Hamakdavar, he says, you look at the first book of the Torah, it's called Bereishis, and you find a trend, a theme, which is reflected in the words of Chazal, that they refer to it as Sefer HaYashar. How do you translate Sefer HaYashar? The book of the Yashar. I'm not sure exactly how to translate Yashar in English.
Straight and narrow.
Straight and narrow, exactly. I would say in Yiddish, you would translate as Erlich. Upstanding, straight. So why is it called Sefer Yashar? He says, because look at Avraham Avinu. If you're a stand-up guy, it doesn't matter who's getting mugged on the street corner. Whether it's a Jew or a non-Jew, whether it's an African-American, whether it's a Chassid, whether it's somebody from your own shul, or from a, you know, a Korean Methodist, Baptist, whatever. A stand-up guy says that's not okay. Yashrus dictates that you're a stand-up guy in every circumstance. Says and says, you know why it's called Sefer HaYashar? Because the Ovis were Yesharim. Because what Avraham Avinu saw, that five towns, five cities, five places with human beings who were the Rishoyim Aruchim, Mamish Rishoyim Aruchim, they were going to be destroyed. He doesn't say goodbye and good luck. He says, maybe somebody, can you get 10 people, you get 30 people, whatever. And the Tziv says, that's what it means to be a stand-up guy, to be a Yashar. And he goes by the same thing, other avos. So you learn the midah of Yashrus. But the Torah doesn't say, be a stand-up guy. Instead, the Torah does something much more powerful. It paints the picture for us of what Yashrus looks like. So now we can go in our own lives and say, you know what? When I face a circumstance like that, when I'm in a situation where I have this moral quandary, I can look to the others. I can look to the emos. Now I can understand how to live my values. So to summarize, our goal this year is to study values and to think about them as a way of incorporating them into our lives, but to understand now that the Torah gave us an amazing recipe to do this. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to incorporate them in a powerful way, in a way that's going to stick. So instead of just giving us a list of values, which the Rambam will do in Hilchos Deos, just for clarity's sake, just to make sure that we're on the same page, the Rambam will tell you, you know, anger is not a good value. That's a bad midah. You know, patience is a good midah. V'chule, v'chule. And there are lots of svarim about this. But at its core, we're not going to learn and we're not going to teach just by slogans. It's true, even though it's a trite thing, but people say it, but it's true. It's never do as I say. It's always do as I do. That's what it is. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us two ways of doing that. He gives us the mitzvot ma'asios, the practical actions, and through those actions we build an identity around values, and then he gives us the role models. He gives us the figures, the stories, the episodes, both for good and also to see what not to do. And through that, we can ultimately come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill that original mitzvah of lihidamos, as the Rambam said, lihidamos bo yis'ale, to really imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be at that high level of the halachta bedrachav by living those values that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to see from all of us. Thanks for coming. I hope you have a good year.